I want you to know tonight, I don't know what's going to come out of this sermon. I ain't ever preached it before, so I don't know what's going to come out of it. But if it's good, you can thank me for it. Now, hang on, I know where I'm going with this. Really, you're saying thank God for it. But I will say this for this purpose. If it's good, you can thank me for it. And if it's bad, you can blame my brother-in-law. Because he's the one, me and him was talking when God got to moving on this thing. And I said, "Oh, brother." And he said, "Oh, brother." And it batted back and forth. And I said, "Man, that thing will preach." Amen. Amen. God got me hemmed up. And up in that little upper room of mine at my house, and God began to pour it out. And I told him a couple of days later, I said, "You got to be there Sunday night, because I'm going to preach our sermon Sunday night." Well, I'm preaching our sermon tonight, brother. Hallelujah. Listen, folks. Dan got them ships going this morning. He told us about the anchors. He told us about life's rough seas. But I want to talk to you about two ships that's in the harbor tonight. Two ships that's in the harbor. We see in this passage of Scripture a portrait of Jesus at the height of his popularity, one of the heights of his popularity. People were thronging him to hear him preach, and the Word of God would draw people to him. Amen. In the midst of this confusion near the Lake of Gennesaret, Jesus looked. And I want you to take a mental snapshot of what he saw. The people were pressing against him, and he looked up. And the Bible said in verse 2 that he saw two ships by the lake. And you got that in your mind? Here's the crowd pushing Jesus. And he looks up and he sees two ships. Two empty ships. Amen. Hallelujah. Two ships tonight that I want to look at. You know this story. You know that Jesus used one of the boats to use it for a pulpit to preach. But that's not what I want to look at tonight. I want to take that one snapshot that you just took and see what Jesus saw. Two empty ships in the harbor. Amen. Somebody say that to your neighbor. Two empty ships in the harbor. Amen. You got it now. Now let's put a name on them ships. You know, everybody names a ship. If Billy Walker owned the boat, it'd be the SS Sandra. Amen. Ain't that right, Sandra? Yes, ma'am, it had your name on it. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel good tonight. Y'all feel good. Amen. I believe those two ships could be named the church and the Christian, or church and self, that was in the harbor that day. Two ships. I want to draw a parallel of these Christian ships and Christian service and ask the question, why are the ships in the harbor? Hallelujah. There are only a few reasons that a ship has got to be in the harbor. Do you ever think of that? As we examine these reasons today, let's look at our spiritual ships. And I want to know, and I'm going to ask you the question, and you'll have to answer it before this service is over. Is my ship in the harbor, or is it out on the sea? Follow with me. This is going to get tight before it gets better. Somebody say, "Get out of here, devil."
Yeah.
Come on in, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on now. Amen. The first reason that a ship is in the harbor is because it's been put in dry dock. It's been put in mothballs. It's a living museum of what used to be.
Amen.
How many of you are familiar with the battleship, the USS Alabama? I believe, if I'm not wrong, that it's docked in Mobile Bay. Am I right about that? And you know what it is? They've turned that thing into a museum. But I guarantee you something. She's safe in the harbor. Now you come with me. We're going to get there. She is safe in the harbor. She doesn't have to worry about falling. between two seas anymore, Dad. She doesn't have to be worried about being torpedoed by the enemy anymore. She doesn't have to worry about going through a hurricane anymore, for she's anchored safe in the harbor. You with me? But I'm going to tell you something. She's got Ichabod stamped over the door. The glory has departed. Because listen, if she could talk, if that old battleship could tell you her stories, I'm here to tell you tonight, there wouldn't be one story that would involve being docked in a safe harbor. But the victory and the glory of life is out in the sea. Amen.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me tell you something tonight. Now this is the meat of the message, Freddie. This is what me and him got excited about. Ships were not designed, nor were ships built to sit in the harbor. They were designed to get out on the sea. Woo! What are we doing in the harbor? The glory has departed from her. She's a relic of what used to be. Come on now. She's safe in the harbor. But there's no excitement about what she's doing anymore. I got a feeling that too many ships have pulled into the harbor called the church, amen, the local assembly, and they've gotten dry dock, and they've been put in mothballs, and all they have and can tell you is about what used to be instead of what is right now. Somebody say amen. I don't care what victories you have won. I don't care what you used to do. The important thing is, what are you doing for Jesus Christ right now?
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Come on,
amen.
Amen.
What are we doing right now? Too many of us are sitting just floating in the water. Safe, secure. When a little swell will come in, we'll ride with it. When a little dripple, nipple will come, we'll flipple with it. Amen. We just safe in the harbor. Don't have to worry about it no more. But honey, let me tell you, you listen to me tonight, the victories of your life are not won in the harbor. You're in the door. Oh, glory. This thing's getting big, dog. Let me tell you something. The greatest battles of World War II, the battles that ensured our freedom, the battles that turned the tide of the war, the great naval battles, they weren't fought in a harbor. But they went out where the enemy was at. And they confronted the enemy. And the victory was won. Too many folks have got their name on a church roll. Come on. And they sat down in their mothballs. Some of them been pickled. Amen. Glory. Some of them preserved forever. Some of them living in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. But I got news for you. This is the 90s. Hallelujah. Now, I ain't talking about that gospel. It don't change. But I'm saying we get hung up. We won a victory back 25 years ago. And we withdrew from the battle, went to the harbor, had our victory in our hand, and said, I'll stake it forever on this victory. Won't get it, honey. Woo! Y'all wish you had Dan Robinson back now, don't you? Amen. Listen, folks. You don't find the adventures of life in safe harbor. They're out in the open sea. Too many of us have dry docked in this church. We're safe in the harbor. We're only equipped, though, with the memories of what used to be. There's a lot of folks that's been in this church for a long time, and I love you. And a lot of them can say, well, I remember when old so-and-so got saved. And I remember when we had a great revival. And I'm going to tell you something. This weekend is about to be one of them memories. But we can't take this weekend and work off the memory of it. We must work off of the reality of it, of the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. Hallelujah. Jesus said, don't get hung up on your victories you've won. But he said, go into all nations, didn't he? Teaching them, baptizing them, making disciples. Jesus said, go into the hedges and the byways and compel them to come in. James taught, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
Amen.
We got to get into battle. We got to engage the enemy. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Honey, we've been through enough. This thing's coming up, it's going to come out. We've been through enough basic training. We've took enough exercises. We've had enough advanced infantry training. Hallelujah. We know all the procedures. It's time to engage the enemy. Woo! Who is the enemy? Satan is our enemy. I got news for you. The Catholic Church is not our enemy. The Methodist Church is not our enemy. The Episcopals are not our enemy. The Baptists are not even our enemy. Who is our enemy? Satan. And we need to engage him. We do not wait for him to come to us. If we do, we're fighting a defensive battle. We need to be on the offensive. I'm going to tell you, we need to be messing around so in his backyard that he says, who are them folks in West Point that's in my hip pocket? Says it's Satan down at Roper Heights. Woo! They got a fool at the helm, but they got a good prayer group backing them up. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah, we need to be out doing the work of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. But we done got too hung up in the mothballs, honey. We done too hung up with doing church. Somebody say amen to that. We think, oh, it's going to get big. We think because we preach it and we sing it that we do in church, honey. I'm going to tell you something. This is just where we meet to get ready to do church. Church is done out there. Hallelujah. I can't help but remember old Fred Sampson. Black preacher, some of you may know Dr. Fred Sampson. He got to talking one night. He said when he was a young man, he was raised in the city, Dan. And said about 8 or 9 years old, his mom and daddy let him go spend the week with his grandma and grandpa who were in the country. And they had a farm. And he said he went down there the first night. Said, Grandpa, come got him up about 4 o'clock in the morning. He said, just a few minutes past midnight. Somebody say amen to that. Yeah. And he said, he got him up at 4 o'clock. Said, come on, boy. We're going to go milk the cows. We're going to clean the house up. We're going to do work around the house. He said, they worked for 2 solid hours. And they got the cows milked. And they got everything done around the house. Said, they went in there and Grandma had a big old breakfast fix. And he sat down and he ate that big old breakfast and biscuits and cathead biscuits. I mean, y'all know what them are. Some Jim, what is it, a diamond Jim, sorghum syrup, amen. Some Jim Dandy quick grits, come on. And he ate a big old breakfast and he sat back and said, well, you know, this getting up at 4 o'clock ain't so bad anyway because you threw at 6 o'clock. And much to his surprise, after he pushed back, his grandpa said, get up, boy, we got to go to work now. He said, he looked at him and he said, excuse me, what have I been doing for 2 hours? He said, you ain't been working. He said, well, why come I'm tired? Get out! He said, oh no, son, you got to understand how the farm works. He said, anything you can do in the house or around the house are simply the chores. But he said, the work is out in the field! Hallelujah! Don't think you working for Jesus when you deacon and preach it and teach it and sing it. You just doing the chores and the work is in the field. Hallelujah. Compelling them. Woo! Compelling them to come to Jesus. That's where our work is. That's what our mission is. Our mission, hallelujah, is coming up, it's coming out. Our mission is not to be a hospital for saints so much as it is to be a last aid station for those on the way to hell. Woo! I know, I'm afraid if you amen me too much, I'm going to hurt myself, ain't you? I know. Amen! Too many Christians are dying, dry docked in the harbor, safe doing their little chores. You ask a lot of folks, are you a good Christian? And they'll tell you, yeah, I go to church on Sunday morning. I go Sunday night. Occasionally I make it on Wednesday night. I pay my tithes. I'm a good Christian. And you ask them, how many folks did you tell about Jesus this week? And they're going to say, you know why? Because they've been busy doing the chores and ain't been doing the job. The job! Woo! Are y'all with me? Hold your hand up if you're with me. The job of this church is not to adjust and dust halos, but it's to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And honey, I'm here to tell you tonight, if the gospel I preach, if it won't save the harlot, Brenda, if it won't do for the drug addict, God, if it won't do for the drunk and our scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, better hang it up! Woo! But our message is to a lost and dying world that Jesus loves you. Woo! Too many of us are spiritually talking about what was instead of what is. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something. Many's going to be talking about this camp meeting this weekend, because it's a what is thing. It ain't a what was thing. You know what the what was things do? They cause folks to, well, we ain't never done it like that before. Got a secret to tell you. Maybe you never done it right before. Woo! Hallelujah! No, Grandma and Grandpa done it that way. Preacher, it had to be right. We get hung up on the what was, but the what is in the field. In the field, listen to me, folks. In the field is where the fallow ground is broken up. You don't break up the fallow ground doing chores around the house. And honey, I'm telling you, there's too many of us Christians that's got our hands on the cow udder milking when we need to have our hands on the plow plowing.
Amen.
You tell the devil I said that too.
Amen.
Amen. Now I know I done went from the middle of the ocean out to a dairy farm, but I ain't lost. I know right exactly where I'm at. Amen. I ain't lost. Amen. In the field is where the fallow ground is broken up. In the field is where the seed is planted, honey. Hallelujah. In the field is where the pruning is done by the husbandman. Woo! But hallelujah, Jim, in the field is where the harvest is gathered.
Amen.
Woo! You don't gather the harvest doing chores in mothballs. The harvest is gathered by, Brenda, going when you don't feel like going. Singing when you don't feel like singing. Preaching, Dan, when don't nobody want to hear it. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. And I started this way 20 plus years ago, and I've come to a conclusion. I'm not in a popularity contest. I don't care if you like Aaron or don't like Aaron in the greater sense. My flesh cares, but my spirit don't, because I ain't doing this to please you. If I was doing this to please you, I'd put you on a good show tonight. We'd laugh, everybody'd be happy. I'd take your money and we'd all go home happy. But honey, I'm in this way for souls. Hallelujah. I want to see souls brought into the kingdom.
Amen.
That's what I'm doing this for. It ain't for worldly fame. It ain't for the acclaim of men. But it's so lost and dying, boys and girls, men and women, can miss that place called hell.
Amen.
Whew.
That's good.
Hallelujah. The second thing I want you to see tonight, now we're getting out of the farmland, going back out into the city harbor. The second and first real reason that ships are in the harbor is to take on their cargo, Brenda. They come in that harbor, Don, to get loaded up and take on their cargo. You say, what is our cargo, Brother Aaron? Ooh, I'm going wrong. You got to see this. Look what it says. The first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, first 8 words of verse 3. And he... Woo! And he entered into one of the ships. Hallelujah! Jesus is our cargo. Woo! The only reason we got to be in the harbor to begin with is to let Jesus get in this ship. Woo! And honey, you got to pull it up the port. God ain't going to force you to get up and get saved. You got to come to him and say, Lord, I accept you. I confess my sin. Dan, you left one out this morning. Says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Woo! Somebody say amen. Is that good out there as it is up here? Hey, wave at me if it's good. And tell your neighbor, say, it's good. Do it like Andy Griffith used to do. Point out and say, it's good. Amen. Go Glory! The most precious cargo that we will ever take on is Jesus Christ. My Father is not here tonight. They wanted to be. Not many times does he talk about World War II. He spent 4 years in the infantry unit in an active combat zone in Japan. Island hopping. Not very often will he ever even talk about it. But on one of the few occasions that he talked about it, he told me something there. Now I'm talking about getting the cargo on board, people. Don't forget where I'm at. The cargo on board. He said, Aaron said they pulled up, was on one of them islands. He said they loaded a bunch of us on troop transport ships. And we was going to another island. And said, we were in a convoy. And he said, there's a bunch of troop transport ships. But he said, right in the middle of that convoy was an old tanker. And said, that old tanker was loaded to the gills with oil and gasoline. And said, she was riding about that high out of the water. And he said, we set out to our destination. And said, we had committed out into the sea when a typhoon or a gale or whatever it was came up. And he said, Aaron, the winds began to blow, and them old troop transport ships that we were on said they'd ride up the wave, and then the wave would move out, and they'd come down, and they'd go, BAM! And he said, it'd rattle us to death when that thing would hit. And he said, that went on for a couple of hours. And he said, then I looked over there to where that old heavy laden oil tanker was. Hallelujah! He said the wave would come and she'd go up with it. And said when the wave would go down, she was so heavy and full of her cargo that she wouldn't slap down. She wouldn't fall down. She just rode the wave down. I'm going to tell you something, honey. When we get full of Jesus Christ, it won't be slapping and it won't be bumping, but it'll be riding the glory wave of the Holy Spirit of God. Woo! We need to be full of our cargo. I got news for you. When Jesus comes back, he ain't coming back for a half-empty church. But he's coming for those who are full of him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I preach? I'm about to get warmed up now. So it is with Christ. Those of us who are filled with his presence know how to ride out the storm. Amen. The third thing I want you to see, just let me say this, those who are full of Jesus sail the smoothest through life's storm. You're not exempt from them. They're going to come. Let that boy breathe a minute. Dan, you don't have this problem, do you? I tell my folks and I tell you visitors, if I was 25 years old, I'd do this sermon justice. But at 41, going on 42, and 200 none of your pounds, business pounds, I ain't going to tell you. I can't do it justice. Third thing I want you to see tonight. Not only do ships come in the harbor to take on their cargo. You know why they go into the harbor? To get rid of their heavy burden. Praise God. They come into the harbor, the safe harbor, to unload that heavy burden that they've got. I'm going to tell you something tonight, people. You listen to me. This is a safe harbor right here. Your mission is not in here. Your mission is out in the world. But when the burdens of life get so heavy that you're just about to go under, thank God there's a harbor that we can pull into. And glory to God, Jesus Christ is the harbor captain. Amen. And he says, come and give your burden to me. Let me have it. I'll take it. Hallelujah. We can unload this burden of life. And I want to know, why are you toting it around? Why you got that burden in the belly of your ship? Come on now. Oh, well, preacher, it's my child, it's my job, it's my church, it's this, it's that. Honey, give it to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't need to be filled with the burden, but we need to be filled with the cargo. The burden is sin, the cargo is Jesus. Hallelujah. My Bible teaches me that he's a very present help in a time of trouble. Somebody say amen to that.